There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Publications and Greenspun Media Group, welcome back. Trish McCrone, my beautiful co-host.
I have been back for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, this is the last time I will say welcome.
Yeah, okay, all right. So it's there. But I did kind of have a Montana throwback a little bit because we both spent, well, you spent your whole weekend. I only spent Friday at the Harvest.
Route 91 Harvest.
Yeah, the Harvest. I kept calling it Harvest
music.
Fest.
Yeehaw, country music festival. Named Route 91. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because that's Las Vegas Boulevard is Route 91 at one
time. I didn't know
the strip,
that.
That's why it's named Route 91.
Wow, I thought it was something like a Nashville.
My investigative reporting skills took me to that conclusion.
Well,
so that was
there.
Once known Route 91. Then it was known as Las Vegas Boulevard. Now it's known as a strip.
Wow. Well, I was there because of Wayne Newton's friendship with Neil McCoy, who has become – that's my family's dear friend. I love Neil and his wife Melinda and Les Martinez. Shout out. Whoop! To all of them, now we've had Neil McCoy on the show before.
Yes.
Is he not one of the funniest guys?
He is
and
a great
so talented.
Man. Very talented. Now, I came out of this and I saw him performing, and I got there right as he took the stage. I happened to be arriving right when he got on stage, and I didn't know Wayne was going to be out there. I didn't know Wayne was going to appear or anything. I just was out there watching Neil McCoy, and he was singing Yesterday as a sing-along with the crowd.
Yeah, he just
out there, and then
he did
Come Together, which is not an easy song to pull off for anybody, the Beatles song, because of the lyrics, and he nailed that. And I'm like, man, this guy. And I came out of that experience just thinking, you know, why is now he's a famous guy. He's a great artist.
Yeah.
He plays, you know, festivals and he entertains all over Wrigley Field, Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, touring with Blake Shelton.
He's
Miranda Lambert produced his last album.
Right. But I'm wondering, you know, watching him, why is he not the George Strait? Why is he not at that level? Because he is that good. He is so appealing as an artist. And but I really enjoyed watching him, meeting him.
Yeah, he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's
very funny.
He's great. He's so talented, and you know, and it's like, and he can sing anything. He sings. Mm-hmm. He loves to sing standards, which is like a crazy thing with him. And it's like he's just one of the greatest guys on the planet. And backstage, I got to meet a crush of mine, a married crush. Aren't all my crushes married these days? I swear. Which means, you know, obviously they're not a serious crush, but. He is mighty good looking. Those of you that watch the show Nashville, Deacon Claiborne himself, Charles Esten, is so good looking and so sweet. My niece, like, lost her mind. Oh, my God, he's so hot. Oh, my God. She didn't want to take a picture with Blake Shelton or anybody else. She saw Deacon, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I have to. So he was so sweet to my niece, kept coming over. He talked to us. I mean, we were hanging out with him for, like, a couple hours. It was so much fun. He is so talented. He's so good looking. And for those of you who do watch Nashville, they are singers. I mean, he's a very good singer. He performed the next day as did Claire Bowen,
right.
who plays Scarlett on the show.
They went back to back. And Claire did, Bowen did a version of The Killers, All the Things That I Have Done, All These Things That I Have Done by The Killers, and pulled that off really well. So that was a good component to the whole thing. I liked the festival a lot. I was there all three days and nights. Very impressed with Miranda Lambert in a full set. I thought she was great, and Jason Aldean, forget about it, is a rock star.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beyond just country music. He is a rock and roller.
Yeah, it was Blake, Miranda, and Jason.
Yeah, those
headliners.
Are the three headliners. I didn't see Shelton's full set on the first night, but this festival got off to a great start, in part because, you know, Wayne got it, helped kick it off to him. It was amazing to see him out there. And I think over the course of time, I was talking to officials that this is going to be one of those really big ones. It's going to take over the Rock and Rio grounds, I think, within 3-4 years. It's going to be that big on the south side of the strip.
Yeah, I had never been to that venue. Was this one of the first things they've done?
The village, it's called The Village, yeah. And that's interesting you should bring that up because it is new. What they've done out there is they've had iHeartRadio's outdoor festival the last couple of years on that facility. The first one they did was a year ago when Miley Cyrus debuted her new single when Wrecking Ball came out. That was where it debuted.
Oh!
Yeah, during iHeartRadio. And they had about 20,000 people out there. And they're activating that space to be a festival ground. And they call it The Village now. They called it The Lot. So they did iHeart again this year. They had a festival 2 weekends ago that Kings of Leon headlined. They have had the Route 91. This weekend, it's Wine Amplified. with Train and Blink 182 headlining. So there's two more nights, Friday and Saturday this weekend, and I'm going to be writing about that, or I have written about that in the cast report as you hear this. And it is a major festival outdoor venue space. That was formerly nothing.
I mean, there were so many people there. And of course, you know, those country fans, they know how to party. They come with their cowboy hats and their cowboy boots. I mean, it was like by the time it got dark, I was like, how are these people going to make it through the night to see Blake Shelton? Because it was, I mean, there was partying going on. And yet, I give it up to the country fans. You guys have stamina that I just would not have. I would, by the end of, you know, Neil's set, I would have been passed out if I was drinking.
I remember him saying that, he goes, this crowd is not pacing itself. And when I left that Friday night especially, that was one beer and beaten crowd, man. They were hammered.
But they don't give up. But they don't go home. They stay.
They got second and third wins. And I don't know if you saw I took an Instagram photo of the grounds after the Saturday night show that was just littered.
Oh, my gosh. It was it looked like the dump. I mean, it really did. Like, it was just like there was hardly an inch of ground that you could see with like all of the stuff. It was crazy.
And I'll tell you what, within an hour, that place was cleaned up and ready for round three
on
Sunday. So anyway.
Go Vegas.
Yes, sir. You got it. On the topic of entertainment that happens
here. On the topic of Neil's,
another one we're quite fond of is Neil Diamond. Our guest this week coming up next is the man who is known as the King of Diamonds, I should say. He's performing a Neil Diamond the Tribute at Westgate's Shimmer Cabaret. He's no stranger to Neil Diamond fans, named Rob Garrett, and he's going to be up. But first, Josh Bell with movies. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
This is Terry Fader, and I'm Larry Fabulous. You're listening to Cats with a Dish.
You didn't come to my high school graduation or college.
Why? Jail time. Truancy. I was going to reward anything.
I graduated from law school, for Christ's sake.
As opposed to what, dropping out?
That's Robert Downey Jr. as Hank Palmer and Robert Duvall as his father in The Judge. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Amoral lawyer Hank engages in typical city boy returns home activities when he heads from Chicago back to his Indiana hometown for his mother's funeral in this hokey, emotionally manipulative dramedy. Trusted with defending his proud, antagonistic judge father on murder charges, Hank endures seemingly endless heartbreak and life lessons delivered alongside awkwardly pandering comedy. I give The Judge 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Dracula Untold, an origin story for the famous vampire played by Luke Evans.
By putting one village to the stake, I spared 10 more. Sometimes the world no longer needs a hero. Sometimes what it needs is a monster.
Focused on the title character before he was worth making a movie about, Untold takes place in the 15th century with the man known as Vlad the Impaler returning to preside over a decade of peace in his homeland of Transylvania. When that peace is threatened, Vlad goes to unspeakable lengths to defend his people, eventually becoming a monster. Despite featuring the most famous vampire of all time, Untold is not a horror movie and is never even remotely scary. It's a generic medieval action epic, filled with garish CGI clutter and ironically bloodless violence. I give Dracula Untold 1.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
There's 1,000 further women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is one of the foremost Neil Diamond tribute artists in the country. He has worked in Las Vegas for 30 years, but is just starting his first open-ended engagement at a Las Vegas hotel casino. He is at Shimmer Cabaret at the Westgate Las Vegas, formerly LVH, formerly Las Vegas Hilton, formerly International for you longtime Las Vegans, in a show titled Neil Diamond, The Tribute. Here to talk about that move and his career over that span of time is Rob Garrett. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, thanks, John.
Thanks for coming down, sir.
Good to be here, buddy.
Wow. 1974, you've worked here. You've lived here since.
I moved here
in 74. What took so long to get an extended engagement? You're a pretty picky guy, I guess, huh?
It was a little bit of that and waiting for the right venue and the right and the right time, too.
Yeah.
So the offer was on the table. And I did have residencies with back my pre-Neil Diamond days when I had my own band here, but that was lounges. You know, that was casino lounges. And you went in, you stayed at a place for a month or so, but never – in the 19 years I've been doing the Neil Diamond tribute, this was the first place to offer me a long-time type deal.
Okay, so you started out, as you said, you had your own band. But now, how did it all turn into Neil Diamond? What was it about Neil Diamond? What was it that said, oh, this is what I'm going to do now?
Well, actually, I had the band for 15 years, and being that Neil was always one of my idols, my musical idols and so forth, I used to do a lot of his material in my band. And I used to hear all the time on a consistent basis, people would tell me, man, when you sing Neil Diamond songs, you sound exactly like him. You're crazy if you don't try out for that for Legends in Concert. And I heard that for many, many years. And I said, I don't know if I'd enjoy just doing a show doing one character. But then I found out how much those people make as opposed to what the band, regular band guys make. And I said, well, okay. And I had the band for 15 years and I pretty much had done anything you could do with a band at this point, lounges and everything. So it was time for a change in life and maybe take it up a notch. And I did. In 1995, I auditioned for Legends in Concert and got the job.
Was Legends, did they have a set character that they were looking for? Did you pitch the entire concept of bringing Diamond into the production as the audition?
Ironically, I wanted, obviously being, you know, a Vegas resident, and I had a little daughter at the time, I wanted the job here. Someone had seniority over me at the time. So, and you're going to like this story too because of what I'm getting to. I sent an audition tape to my friend who did Elvis in the Hawaii Legend show. And I said, listen, can you take this to your boss and you see if he's interested? And he said, yeah. He said, I didn't know you did Neil Diamond. And I said, well, I'm new, you know. So he took it and he came back and I'm not going to say who the boss was yet, but John knows. And he said, he liked it, but they're not ready to hire right now. And I said, I'm getting a brush off. Okay. Mm-hmm. But 9 months later, the phone rang and it was Paul Revere.
Wow.
Who just passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sunday.
Yeah. And Paul Revere from the Raiders. And he said, Rob, it's Paul Revere. And how you doing, buddy? He said, listen, I'm coming to town to do a show with the Raiders, and I want to audition you one-on-one. You know, I like the tape, and I want to see you in person. And he came to town, and he was doing a show with the Raiders. And the next afternoon, he met me in the afternoon in a nightclub my band was playing at. And I literally auditioned for him one-on-one with background tracks, you know, no band. And he sat there, and he said, you know, I'll never forget this. He said, what you just did is one of the hardest things for a performer to do because there's no audience and it's just you and me and you're supposed to be putting on a little show. He says, if you want to come to Hawaii for a few months? And that was what do you say to that? You know, yes. And I was there for 3 years. And those 3 years were the whole big start of the Neil Diamond career with Legends. Yeah.
Wow. And, now, in order to kind of envelop this character, what did you have? Was there any kind of specific things you have to do? Did you have to dye your hair? Did you have to, what was it that was the big change?
Absolutely. I had to learn how to do that hairstyle. And at the beginning, I didn't use my own hair because I had a different hairstyle and I didn't know I'd be doing this as a career. So I bought a wig, you know, filled in the eyebrows and I looked in the mirror and I went, oh. You know, this doesn't look too bad. I think I can do this, you know. And then progressively, I had to learn how to do the hairstyle. I actually have to, you're going to love this, to shave my hairline up about a quarter of an inch every time I shave normally just to get a little bit of the higher forehead.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, how many men in the world right now are just angry at you that you actually have to shave?
Nobody does your this on purpose.
Because of the fact – I know, exactly. Like the fact that you have such a great hairline that you have to shave it when men are doing anything to keep their hairlines.
I'm not lying.
I am here with two really nice-headed guys.
Anything for your art, right?
Absolutely.
Wow,
it paid off.
Well, when you inhabit a character, you have to stay in shape. You have to stay a certain size. You can't get overweight. I mean,
right,
that's a motivation
absolutely.
Also, right? I mean, you have to kind of look in general, like him.
He's not a gentleman who's ever necessarily got heavy.
Never.
Are you praying he does someday?
No, I'm not.
I'm staying in shape now.
He's always in, you know, like I said, he's never heavy. You know, he's always in relatively good shape. And I had to study him in answer to your original question the same way any actor taking on a movie role, portraying somebody else, has to study their character, except I've been studying the same character for 19 years now.
Has he seen your show? Has Neil Diamond actually seen you perform?
Not in person, as far as I know. He knows all about me. I have a personalized signed picture. And his drummer's daughter has been in my group doing backup before when we've done the cannery or so forth. But we've never met face-to-face.
Wow.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Never met face-to-face.
There's still time. He's still gigging around.
Right.
He'll be here next year.
Yeah.
He's on tour.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I have to say, because I am a Neil, I would call myself a Neil Diamond fan, most definitely. But your speaking voice even sounds like I'm on the set of The Jazz Singer right now. Because even did you always speak like him, or did you learn that as it went and it just kind of became your voice?
Well, you know, he actually talks a lot lower, and he's got a gravel on his voice that I don't have, and it's like croaky.
But it's very close. It's very close. Maybe it's because I'm looking at you as well, but it's like I feel like I'm sitting with Neil Diamond.
I think my normal speaking voice is definitely quicker than him, and it's a little bit higher.
Are you from the same area?
We're both born in Brooklyn. Both nice Jewish boys from Brooklyn.
Oh, there you go.
You mentioned something earlier, Rob, about if it would be satisfying, or the words of the effect, would it be satisfying portraying a single character over the course of an extended period of time? And that was, you were kind of reluctant at the beginning. Here we are almost 20 years into this now with no real end in sight.
Right.
How does it feel?
You know what? It was the best decision I ever made. I was really thinking seriously at that time. And really, the thing that provoked me was probably just the financial end of it.
Sure.
You know, financially it was a step up, but I've been having meeting his fans and developing my own and getting to travel the country, sometimes the world. And plus his music is so phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of emotional songs. People are really affected by the stuff he writes. So, like I said, that I look back and said, I can't believe I was actually thinking twice about this at one time. Mm-hmm. And I was also wondering, you know, 20 years ago, is he still going to be popular? You know, where, you know, I'm going to make this transition. And it turns out he's more popular than he ever was.
It's interesting. He's current. He's a contemporary artist who's also a legacy artist now.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have stopped performing live years ago and you could still be doing Neil Diamond, but he continues to tour.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like it keeps moving along, you know, moving your career along.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, thank God. Thank God for Neil.
What is the set list like?
Set list is, well, at the Westgate, it's only a 70-minute show. And I say only because that's, compared to some of my other shows, it's a short show. Considering how many hits Neil Diamond has cranked out, you can't cover the whole, you know, library in 70 minutes. But it's 15 songs, and you'll know every single one of them pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From, you know, Love on the Rocks to Hello Again to Solitary Man. We cover the whole all three Jazz Singer hits. America. Yeah, and of course the one that people can't seem to, you know, live without is
Sweet Caroline.
I don't understand the phenomenon.
So good,
Did that come up late? That callback from the audience. Yeah. That seems like a more recent thing to me. I don't remember that being a thing until fairly recently.
It started big in the bottom of the eighth inning at Fenway Park in Boston.
Because that is the Boston. Yeah. The Sox.
Still goes.
That's their. Yeah, yeah. That's their theme song.
Every bottom of the eighth inning, they play Neil doing Sweet Caroline, and the crowd does that. So good, so good. You know, and bomb, bomb, bomb.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all Boston.
It started there, and it's rolled over to other arenas. And you can't forget about those karaoke bars.
Oh, yeah.
What if those Red Sox fans understand that he's from New York, by the way?
I know, exactly.
Like, can they put that together? He might be a Yankee fan.
So now, what was the hardest song vocally for you to learn to sing like Neil?
The hardest song vocally would either be Love on the Rocks or my favorite, which is I Am, I Said. And not that it's vocally demanding, but that's his personal, own autobiographical song, I Am, I Said. And the words are about his life. So I had to make, and I'm performing it, and I have to make it sound like it's about my life, which is not too difficult because we have a lot of similarities, both born in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, again, to, you know, working class Jewish families, and then moved to the West Coast as young men. So, and that's what the song's about, you know, having hopes and dreams and so forth. So you know, again, you're being an actor. I'm singing to somebody else's song, but I'm making people believe I'm the one that wrote that song,
wow.
You know, which of course I'm not.
Right, but you have to inhabit the character as if that's the case. What about musically? Who's behind you? What's the band like? How's this going to be delivered?
I've got a compact band at the Westgate, smaller than I usually work with, but I have Steve Gerard on keyboards. I've got Jeff Boree on drums, Keith Neal on lead guitar, and my girl Rosanna Telford singing backup.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an effort over there. I don't know if it's coincidental because of the purchase of the hotel or just by the evolution of the room. Everything's a tribute in Shimmer these days.
Yeah, well.
You and you got Purple Rain just has opened over there.
And Trent,
Carlini, the Elvis tribute artist who's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about being in that kind of lineup?
Well, I was the second one because they had Trent. Trent's been there for a number of years.
You and then Purple Rain.
So then they asked me, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if you saw the ads, but it says two kings and a prince.
Uh-huh.
Because the king of rock, and then they call me the king of diamonds and prince. So it's called.
That's great.
It says two kings and a prince. So no, it's great.
We need a queen tribute act in there. Yeah.
There you go. Two kings, a prince, and a queen.
Then you're like a royal flush.
Yeah, right. A whole royalty lineup. But it's like they've kind of quasi branded it that way. In a way. Is that going to be good for business? Do you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. It gives the place a theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the tribute themes, whatever they're going for, but so far so good. For me to be in that building is very special too, because I think I told you earlier, I've lived in Vegas since 1974, and I've been coming since 1972 with my parents, but I got to see Elvis 18 times in that room.
You saw Elvis 18 times at the Hilton?
That's 1-8. Yeah.
Wow.
That's not even including the 5 in New York.
Wow.
So listen, little boy, my mom took me every, you know, and it wasn't expensive to see Elvis back in the 70s. It was like Elvis and dinner was like $25.
Wow.
You know, back in the 70s. And so, but yeah, 18 times.
Was it fantastic? Was it just incredible? I've talked to people who saw him in those days.
Being in the same room with him, you can't even, your jaw drops and you're staring at someone that's been deified, you know, and you know, you think this guy can walk on water. No one had that kind of charisma, you know, just in the room.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
There's a lot of history in that building.
Boy, they just recently played on PBS the Aloha from Hawaii special.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen that in a long time. Man, he was a bad performer.
He was. People don't really, the ones that haven't seen him don't realize how electric he was.
So now you get to be right around the corner from that, right?
I know. Like I said, that's very special for me.
We were talking, when they made the purchase of the hotel, I interviewed and have talked to quite a bit, David Siegel, the owner of Westgate, the founder
nice
of the
guy.
Company. Yeah, very nice. He's been all over. He's seen all the shows
in there. He's a big fan. Yeah.
He is. He goes to stuff. Even if he doesn't necessarily have, an interest coming in, he goes and sees everything. And what he said when he took it over was that there were plans for Shimmer that were not for ticketed shows, that the long-term plan for Shimmer was to take it apart.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah, and then he started signing you, and then he started signing Purple Rain in there. And I feel like that might be tabled, that plan to do something different with Shimmer and see what these shows do performance-wise. Have you talked to anybody at the hotel about the long-term plans of Shimmer?
Just the entertainment director, Rick White.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I have to say, not to interrupt, but I am interrupting, Rick White is one of the greatest guys in Vegas. I love him
he's such a nice man,
and his wife, just a nice man. So what a great guy to work for. So shout out to Rick White.
He's one of the nicest guys I've ever worked for. His wife is an avid fan, and she's been there. We've been there 2 weeks. She's been there both Wednesdays. She'll probably be there tonight. Just a big Neil Diamond fan and so forth. So but I had heard the same thing you did. I thought about the Shimmer for quite a while. I went, this might be a good place for me. And then they said it was going to close down, but then I think it was Rick that convinced Mr. Siegel to keep
it's such a great room.
Rick
is
a great guy,
you're
right. And my conversations with Rick was operating, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this, as if he never heard that about the Shimmer. He just kept plowing forward, bringing stuff in, until he's told directly, he's going to keep moving forward. And he is one of the most astute entertainment people in the city
for
a long time, and a very good guy for me to work with, to know. Yeah, he's an asset to that room. How is it performing in there? I've always felt the Shimmer's
such a great room. I think it's one of the best little rooms in town because it's so personalized. I mean, every seat really is a good seat.
You know what? I am so comfortable on that stage. I'm I'm used to playing the cannery or bigger rooms, and this was a little bit smaller. But I found myself like being in my living room.
You know,
being on a stage in my living room. And I'm very, very comfortable, more comfortable than I ever thought I would be up there.
Yeah.
An interesting spot, too, because I don't think people realize, and I was reminded of this the other night when I saw the Purple Rain media night, that there's an upstairs,
A little balcony.
Yeah, there's a balcony up there, and it's got more up and down.
Yeah, when we filmed The Entertainer, that was kind of where we stuck out, where we
spot.
Put our little video village so we could understand, we could like see everything that was going on. But I remember going to the Shimmer Cabaret seeing, I'm going to throw back myself now. Of course, I was underage, which I was. Christine and the Sting.
Oh, they were huge.
They were there. They were like, they had like a residency for a long time. It was just a free show, a lounge.
Yeah.
It was like I would be so excited. And granted, I would, get my virgin strawberry daiquiris and my fake ID. Sorry, Rick White. That
get a real daiquiri with your fake ID.
I know, but it was like I was nervous because I had braces at the time, so I was like trying to hide it. That's how young I was going in
and
there.
And they didn't ID you?
No, because I would not smile. And I was just like, but I wanted to go and see, my family would be out gambling and I would go to see Christine the Sting because I love them. And then I got to put her on the Jenny Jones show years later. So I kind of felt like I did something right with
that
Shimmer Cabaret is my
That was her home for a long time.
Well, could do an all-star list of people who've been through Shimmer. The Shintas started there.
Louis. Yeah, that's right.
I forgot about Louis.
Sunset
Strip
with Lorraine Apparel.
Lorraine Apparel
is
there a long time.
That's right. Yeah. And these are some of the more recent ones. We can even go back before them.
I heard something one time recently. I forget who told me this. I think it was Sam Thompson who was with Elvis.
Yeah,
that Chuck Berry played the lounge. I don't know if it was Shimmer, but it was at the Hilton.
Right.
That he was there.
Here's the thing. When the International opened up and they had that huge showroom, which was the biggest, the one Elvis was in and Streisand was in and Liberace, it was huge. It's, 2,000. At the time, no showroom had 2,000 people. And they had a lounge that was like – it wasn't the Shimmer, but they had a lounge that was a little showroom.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where Chuck Berry, Righteous Brothers, Chuck Berry.
Yes.
So you'd have Elvis.
Little Richard
absolutely.
That period. And Elvis would go see Chuck Berry.
Yeah. And you'd have Elvis in the big room, in the showroom, and the room they called a, quote, lounge, it was like a little showroom.
Okay.
And you'd have the Righteous Brothers and Little Richard and all these people we're talking about. So that's the lounge that you're referring to.
Okay. But, did you meet Elvis? Did you ever have a chance to meet him?
No, I was I was a kid. I don't know what I would have ever said to Elvis. But I did get, on one occasion, I got to sit up. I had a connection, or my parents did, and we got to sit up where I can touch the stage all the way to the right, but with my hand. And I just remember that's the closest I got to him when he walked to one end of the stage and he was right there. And I just stared there with deer in the headlights kind of look, looking at this icon.
Is that when you wanted to become an entertainer?
Him and the Beatles did it for me.
Right on.
Yeah, the Beatles made me want to become a musician, and he made me want to become a singer/performer. I go, I want to do that.
Those are some pretty good inspirations. We got to get the nights and the times for Neil Diamond, the tribute. It's at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays through Sundays at Shimmer Cabaret.
Yeah.
And is this genuinely open-ended, or do we have an end date set for the time being?
The first contract's for 3 months. So it takes us pretty much to the end of the year.
December. Yep. So support it, and then you'll get renewed.
And if people want to know more about you, they can go to your website, which is neildiamondthetribute.com.
That is it. Neil Diamond, the tribute.
Wow, we're really excited for you. See, it only takes 20 years to finally have this.
I keep telling everyone.
You're just a
30.
Flash in the pan.
An overnight success.
Overnight success. Yeah.
Rob Garrett, folks. Neil
Thank
Diamond,
you.
The tribute at Shimmer Cabaret. And we're going to see you on Media Night, and we'll talk to you more down the line.
To that. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.